thank you for allowing us to come to your beautiful church and to meet all these beautiful babies. We were 75 years Methodist. And the first thing we do when we move in a new place is look for a church. And I'll tell you, we looked at a couple of Methodist churches, and we just did not feel like they were our church. And so we said, well, let's try that Baptist church. We did. And immediately, we knew this was our new church home. Now, my mother probably turned over in her grave. When I was a teenager, there was a list of people girls that my mother didn't want me to ask out on dates, and at the top of the list was Babbies. So, I asked a lot of Babbies growing up. We moved here from Martysville. Martysville flooded out for the third time for us, and we decided it was time to move to higher ground. There wasn't going to be a Moses there to keep the waters away from us. But we moved in December of 2017, and so here we are. Robin and I met in Baytown, Texas. I was born and raised there. Robin moved there when she was about 7, I believe. And we've paid absolutely no attention to one another during all those years, because when she was 7, I was 11. And when she was 12, I was 16. And when she was 16, I was 20. But then when I was 23, she was 19. And that was really nice. We met when we were on our way to a Christian retreat up at Palestine. She had to listen to me talk about football all the way up there. And I thought I'm going to support her to death, but she told me later that she decided she was going to marry me after that trip. And that meeting was after we had known each other for 13 years. But that age difference just kept us apart. So Robin and I had our first date on April Fool's Day in 1967. And we got engaged 30 days later, and we were married for 4 months after that. And we had a wonderful marriage. We had a It's a whole lot harder to stand up here and talk than I thought it was going to be. But at any rate, we've had a wonderful marriage. I consider our marriage is probably one of the greatest evidences of God's grace in my life. The gift of such a wonderful person and a loving wife is a rare thing. So, I guess, is that everything? It's your turn.
Definitely, it was definitely a God thing that I met Jim and that I ended up marrying him. It was, he's the only one that would have mattered. Anybody else, I probably would have been divorced by now. But he's got the patience of Job. After we got married, I guess he keeps saying it's my fault. He says, I didn't realize you wanted kids so soon. So, I guess a year and some odd later, here comes Sean. And unfortunately, well, he was the only one that was planning. We've got two others. But Sean's the only one that we actually planned on. And right off the bat, when Sean was born, we knew something was wrong. From the tip of his nose to the crown on his head, it's pretty much flat. And so over time, we had massage the head down a little, you know, to form, you know, to get back where it's supposed to be. Our pediatrician, first pediatrician, when knew something was wrong. He was late doing things, and he's about 18 months old, and he had a fever. We were sitting in the doctor's office with him, and he had a grand mal seizure. Scared us, it wasn't, but at least we were in the doctor's office. That's God. So they took him back and shot him full of phenobarb, and he was, you know, okay, but he kept having seizures. And they didn't know why they put him on Dilantin, and that was not good. And anyway, they ended up, we got the right kind of medication, but they sent him to Bloomberg Clinic in Houston, and he ended up at Texas Children's until he was about, 16? I mean, about 16 when we had our last visit, last trip down to Texas Children's. But with the right medication, that was, you know, the seizures were pretty much under control. We kept doing EEGs periodically to make sure everything was okay. But still, he was very late in everything. We knew after a while that was definitely going to be the case. When he finally started being able to sit up by himself, I put him in front of on the floor in the living room in front of Sesame Street. And I think that's how he learned to talk. I don't know. But he learned how to count with the count. And Cookie Monster was his favorite at that time. But he would sit there and just watch television. When he was in the crib or whatever, he'd just kind of roll, you know, sideways or walk. And he really wouldn't talk. And when you looked at him, he never looked you straight in the eye. You couldn't, nobody told us that he was autistic. He was never diagnosed as being autistic. But when you looked at him, he was not looking at you. It's like there was nothing there. You couldn't tell that he was actually either recognizing you or anything. And he had a little stuffed bear, honey bear, and that was his constant companion. And through the years, we helped, you know, we kind of came along, and he had to be, poor thing, Jim, he was trying to teach him to crawl, and it was around Christmas time. Jim took his bottle, put it underneath the tree, and put Sean back here, and held it out. I go, okay, come on, Sean, come get it. That kid screamed and cried. And he urged him. He would urge himself, cry some more, urge himself and cry. He finally urged, you know, he would just kind of.
There's 40 grandmothers in here
today. I'm sorry, but it got Sean the moon. It, you know, sometimes you got to do some drastic things, but it got Sean to moving. And like, with this honey bear, just, you know, he kind of eventually, you know, got around to standing up or pulling himself up and walking. When he was about 4 years old, he was sitting in front of the TV watching Sesame Street. He had honey bear with him, of course. Tiffany had come along, and she was a surprise. Did not expect her. But there's God again. God gave her to us at exactly the right time. I was in the kitchen, the telephone had rung. Tiffany was crawling around. She always liked to poke on Sean. Sean totally ignored her. She could scream at him, she could holler, she could pull his ears, she could hit him, she could do everything. You just sit there and rock. Never, never fazed him a bit. Telephone rang. I went in the kitchen to answer it. Tiffany was crawling towards Sean. All of a sudden, I heard this scream, earth-shattering scream. I dropped the phone, ran in the living room. Tiffany is laying on her back, and Sean has got Honey Bear up in the air, staring straight at her, yelling, "Mine, mine, mine!" And from then on, we saw Sean. She broke through. Tiffany was definitely God's gift. And they have been, I mean, mean, they've been perfect together ever since. It was like Tiffany was a second mother. If I couldn't get Sean to do something, Tiffany could. He'll do anything for his big sister, his little sister, since he's the oldest. And through the years, we've gotten to places where the schools were good, and it's just growing up with Sean, the seizures would go away. We got the seizures under control, and Sean has, he knows no strangers, naturally. When he first started actually communicating with people, and instead of just saying, you know, say, Sean, what's your name? He'd repeat, Sean, what's your name? Well, when Tiffany actually broke through and Sean started communicating with people, we realized that we have got to watch what we say around Sean. All of what we said all through those years was right there in the back of his head. And things would just come out sometimes. You're like, oh, my word. Nothing really bad. It's just didn't realize he was hearing what we were understanding what we were saying. He went to the cerebral palsy center in Baytown on a regular basis. And one day when I went to pick him up, his speech therapist said, Sean was talking about Moses has a crooked tail. I said, okay. And she said, we figured he was talking about Moses. He'd been telling Bible stories, and he goes to church and all. And I said, no, that's nothing. We have a dog named Moses. His tail was crooked. So Moses has a crooked tail, and that was the first thing that they really, a full sentence that came out at the CP Center in Noblesville. But he did. Moses had a crooked tail. And then from then on, he was just communicating all over the place. But he was just a perfect baby. Tiffany was great with him. And David comes along. David's a surprise, too. But he's still God's gift. It was definitely God's gift. So it's been a trip.
Well, David, I got a job when I quit school shortly before Robin and I got married. And I worked my way up through that job and got promoted and got moved up to Crockett to a new plant up there. And then that changed hands with the company, and I was transferred up to Ohio for a while. Before I got up there, when we were in Grayland, David was growing up. We lived in Grayland for 15 years, and he graduated high school there, so he was like 4 years old when we first moved there. And he was a good kid. David's always baseball, football, Boy Scouts, went to church, but he didn't choose the right friends. He had some bad friends. Not bad friends, but friends who weren't on the right track. And so David got off the right track. And we moved up to Ohio, and he didn't initially move up there with us. He had just graduated from high school. And so he stayed down in the Grayland area. And he managed to do all right, but he didn't really have a job that made him enough money. And so he couldn't become financially independent. So he decided he would move up to Ohio with us. And we thought that was great. He was going to get away from those guys. But he found some more guys. And we talked to David on a regular basis about his friends. And we asked him, David, are you smoking marijuana? And he would look us in the eye and say, no, I'm not smoking marijuana. David, are you using any kind of drugs? And he said, no, I'm not using any kind of drugs. So he had gotten a good job up there, and he bought a new car. And one Saturday evening, I got a phone call. And it was from David. And he was at the county jail. And he had been arrested for what to me I thought was shoplifting. He and one of his friends had decided they would shoplift some shoes from a local store. And his friend got away, but they caught David. And as David was trying to get away, he accidentally, or on purpose, or whatever it was, struck one of the people who was trying to restrain him. And that changed that from being shoplifting into robbery. Changed it from being a misdemeanor into a full-blown felony. And they could have allowed him to plea it down. But stubborn as he was, he would not tell them who his friend was. And so they weren't willing to go anywhere with him on anything else. So we went through the whole rigmarole. We got him out of jail with some bail. And he got out and he got fired from the job that he had. But then he found another one, a lumber company. And he was doing that job. And he was out one evening. And we got a phone call. And David was in jail again. He'd been out with the same friend. And his friend of his, who usually carried a gun with him, had discharged the weapon into the air without realizing that sometimes there's a quick response to gunshots. And they cornered them on a parking lot at a restaurant. And so David and his friend were in jail. He was not in jail for the weapon. He was in jail for the drugs that his friend had. So we got around, we didn't bail him out this time. We left him in. When he was in there, we told him, David, we have always dealt with you with love. But now you're in the hands of the state. And they're going to deal with you very coldly and directly. Just be aware. So you might be wondering, you know, where's God's grace in all this? Well, God's grace was we were in Ohio and not Texas. And there was a good jail that was well taken care of and well overseen inside. So there was no danger to David when he was in jail. We went in there to visit him once and he had shaved all his hair off. That was a shock. But he laughed about it, we laughed about it. And then cried about it. Actually, I didn't cry. In the midst of all this, there was one night I got up and I left the bedroom and I leaned against the wall and cried. And that was the only crying I did. But David was there and he had two trials now. He had a trial for the drug charge and a trial for robbery. They did the drug charge first, and he got a year sentence. And we said, well, he can do that 30-day boot camp and get out of that. And then he went to his next trial 2 days later. It was 2 days before Thanksgiving. And he pleaded no contest. Pled no contest on that one. And he got the judge sentenced him 3 to 15 years. And all the air went out of that room. Out of that courtroom. And then the judge said, I'm going to probate that. I've met my back. So David went in the prison. And it was a good, clean prison. No gangs. No violence. We visited him once a week. We'd go in on Sunday afternoon a lot of times. We'll find the eccentricities of visiting someone in prison where you take your shoes off. All that other stuff. And he got out in May, got some time off of good behavior. And we talked to him. And he's going to be staying with us. And he found another job. And he did real well in that job. And after a while, he started going out in the same area that he had been in town. He went out there one Saturday night, and two of his friends mugged him. They took a revolver and slammed him upside the head, and took all his clothes, and took his watch and his shoes. This was January, and they had him in a room, and they were deciding about whether they were going to kill him or not. He heard their discussion and broke out. And there was, if it wasn't so serious, it would be funny. This kid running down the street in the middle of January in nothing but his skivvies. But he got away. He filed charges with grand jury that wouldn't trivial it because David was a felon. And they didn't think they could get a conviction. So David straightened up after that. We didn't have any more trouble with him. And I lost my job there in Ohio. Got laid off. And so we were going to move back to Texas. That was our first decision that we made. And David said he'd come with us. And he did. And we moved back there. And then we moved over to Orange. Moved back to Orange. And David found your jobs, tried some college, and he wasn't doing any good at all. I don't think he was getting in trouble, but he wasn't doing much good. And there was a secretary at one of the places that he serviced where he sold to, and he asked her out, and she said, "I'm going to take you out. I'm not going to go out with you unless you take me to church." So he said, "Okay." She's a pretty girl. And that night, the Holy Spirit
got a phone call. David was crying and hollering, and I thought, "Oh God, what jail is he in now?" That's the only thing I could think of. So he's been arrested again. And he kept saying, "No, no, no, I've been saved. He was just so excited. So we just sat there and cried and talked on the phone. But the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of him, turned him upside down in the other room. Wouldn't let go, and anyway, he had definitely got turned him around totally the opposite direction, and he hasn't turned back since. He's fantastic, and he never dated the girl again.
He is married now for what, 20 years?
That's
16 years, and they have two daughters, and David's a leader in his church. He is a leader in his field as well. It took him a while to get built up in what he was doing, but his business is servicing ships as they come into the port. They service them with Coast Guard pilots, supplies that they may need, tickets they may need for crew members that are leaving. They get all of that, and they have an office there in Houston, and David is the manager of that office, as well as the office in Corpus Christi, and Beaumont, and Lake Charles. And he has done very well, and I am so proud, and so thankful. And it was, without a doubt, the Holy Spirit that did that. God's grace. I've been blessed by it so often. I was lost. One thing that made it hard for me with David was I could see elements of myself in David. Now, when I was younger, I had acted out. I never broke any laws, but I wasn't an obedient child. I was a problem. And it was hard for me to be hard on him. But I was blessed to end up with this beautiful lady over here. And she's like a nexus for me. She binds everything together. And she is driven, I think, by God's grace. I hope that each of you, if you're young enough to have children, will inculcate them with God's grace. Thank you.
I want you to tell us about how the flood happened. What did you lose, and how did you end up?
The flood was Hurricane Harvey. And it was Monday night, and we got 40 inches of rain that one night. Fortunately, we had already evacuated quite a time before that, so we didn't get that 31 inches of water that there was in the house. That was the third time our house was flooded, and we decided almost right off the bat that we were going to get out of there. We weren't going to stay. But we moved and stayed with my daughter for 4 months. And then we found a house over in Huntington that we wanted to buy. It's a new one. And we lost that. And now we've come over to Lufkin to go to church.
And once again,
thank you so much.
How we got the house.
Yeah, well, tell us about that. And then tell us about, did you know about when we had a special adult, special friends class here at church?
No, that's another reason that God is definitely brought us here. When we looked at houses what's that town over there?
Huntsville.
See, I guess my grandson goes there. We had gone to Huntsville looking for houses. Found some. We came to Tyler. Not Tyler. Where are we now? We're in Lufkin. We came to Lufkin and we were looking around. Found houses that one of them was just like, oh yeah, this is really it. This is really good. But, and I thought, why would I want to settle for, I can live with that. This is a house I'm going to be in the rest of my life, and I don't want to have to be settling for something just to have the house. We were coming back through Huntington, just before we got here, big sign said Down Home Properties. And we thought, okay. And we saw another sign, Down Home Properties. So Jim said, why don't we check into it just to see, you know, maybe they've got some land or something. He finds on the internet, he checked out the internet, Down Home Properties, saw Amy, what's her last name? And Amy was doing a virtual tour of a house. We liked it. It was really good. Hadn't been completely finished yet. Went to look at it and signed a contract that afternoon. Got the house that we're in now. When we were looking for churches, we decided, Jim says, you know, our daughter is Baptist. It goes to First Baptist in Jasper. And so that's where we had been going every Sunday while we were living with them. Got to find the house. So Jim says, what about just trying out the Baptist church? And so we did. And after we talked to Mark and found out that this is definitely where we want to be, and John found out that there was an actual Sunday school class for Sean, for the special needs adults. John has never had that. If we miss a Sunday, it's trouble in our house. Sheer trouble in that house if we miss a Sunday. So we can't miss any Sundays, because that is Sean's class. He got, and it's just, it's perfect. So it was a God thing. God brought us to this church. And it's just every single step. You can look back at the time and may not think God had a hand in something. But when you look back over 51 years, 52, sorry about that. That first year didn't count. 52 years, you see all of these places where God's hand was in it. God's hand was there. God's hand was here. It's just overwhelming how fantastic it was. But Sean loves that class.